Welcome to the Shir and Targum and Parshas Mishpatim. So we've spoken briefly in the past about how one of the roles of the Targum Unculus is to try to connect the Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shebaal Peh, to try to connect the written Torah with the oral Torah. Obviously, every translation is a little bit of an interpretation also. So something that the Targum Unculus at least sometimes tries to do is to translate the Pasuk in accordance with the Torah Shebaal Peh, with the oral tradition, which we understand is the true translation, even if it doesn't necessarily accord with the literal translation. So to take one famous example, the Torah says they were supposed to start counting Sfiras HaOmer Mimachras HaShabbos, from the day following Shabbos. Our understanding, based on Torah Shebaal Peh, is that Shabbos over there means not what we call Shabbos normally, but rather refers to the first day of Pesach, whatever day of the week the first day of Pesach happens to come out on. The following day, it was the night following the first day of Pesach, that's when we begin to count Sfiras HaOmer. So there, the Targum Unculus translates, Sfaratim Lachem Imachras HaShabbos, he translates the word Shabbos as Yom HaTova, as Yom Tov. Right? Shabbos means Yom Tov. That's not a literal translation, but it is a correct translation in terms of putting the Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shebaal Peh together. Unfortunately, it's not quite as cut and dry as that, because we'll see a number of examples where the Torah Shebaal Peh's translation of a certain pasuk is not in accordance with the literal translation. Again, very often is against the literal translation, and yet the Targum Unculus retains the literal translation of the pasuk. In contrast, we'll see, we'll give a couple of examples tonight, the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, who we've already seen, is much freer in introducing ideas and concepts from the Midrashim, is much more in line with introducing translations based on the Torah Shebaal Peh into the pasuk. So the question which we really have to ask, and which we probably don't have a satisfactory answer to, is why is it that sometimes the Targum Unculus will translate in accordance with the Torah Shebaal Peh, and sometimes the Targum Unculus will translate in accordance with the literal pshat, you know, the so to speak, the Torah Shebiksav. So the Mefarshim on the Targum Unculus suggest different answers. The Maritz Chayus, Tzvi Hirsch Chayus, wrote a tremendous amount about many, many different topics in Torah. He suggests that if you look at the examples where the Torah where the Targum Unculus translates based on Torah Shebaal Peh, those he does so with regard to halachas that everybody has to know. Well, as everybody has to know when to start counting Sfira. You know, that's not something I can say, well, you know, that's for rabbis. You know, the common person doesn't have to know when to count Sfira. Everybody has to know how to count Sfira. So you have to know that that the Sfira Saomer begins from the day following the first day of Pesach and not from the day following the Shabbos, which is associated with Pesach. In contrast, says the Maritz Chayus, halachas which are really in the realm of dayanim, of people who are sitting on a bezdin and the like, so there, the Targum Unculus didn't feel the need to translate in accordance with the Torah Shebaal Peh. He just translated the pasuk literally, because we hope the dayanim, you know, they're not just getting their knowledge of how to pasken shailos from Chumash and Targum Unculus. Hopefully, they went through the Gemaras, and you know, they can pasken based on that. So, you know, the places where the Targum Unculus translates in accordance with the Torah Shebaal Peh are places where the halacha is relevant to the average person, where he translates in accordance with the simple pshat of the pasuk, where he doesn't introduce the Torah Shebaal Peh. That is when he's talking about issues that are relevant more to dayanim, to people who are going to be more learned anyway, dealing with these issues. So there isn't as much of a need to translate in accordance with the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the Maritz Chayus writes. That would be a great mahalach if it always worked out. That would be a great approach if it always worked out. It doesn't always obviously work out with all of the instances. You know, it's a very nice theory, but you know, the theory has to fit all of the examples. Now, it's difficult to fit in all of the examples into this rubric. So the Sefer Nesina Lager, which we quoted when we began giving the shiur. Rav Nosin Alager is from Rav Nosson Adler, who, in addition to his duties as the chief rabbi of the British Empire in the 1800s, also found time to write a commentary on the Targum Onkelos. I guess, you know, sometimes there were slow days, maybe, in the British Empire, you know, so he was able to write a little bit more. So the Nosin Alager suggests a different interpretation, where he says that, you know, the Targum Onkelos is writing against the position of the Tztukim, the Sadducees. The Sadducees, the Tztukim, were a group at the end of the Bayis Sheni period who claimed that while the Torah Shebiksav, the written Torah, was divinely revealed, they did not subscribe to the Torah Sheba'al Peh. So the Baisusim were another similar group around that time. They were the ones who famously said that Usvartem Lachem Imachras HaShabbos by Sfiras HaOmer, when it talks about counting from the day following Shabbos, Shabbos means Shabbos. It doesn't mean, you know, the first day of Pesach. And in the Baisusi calendar, Shavuos always came out on a Sunday, right? Because again, if you start Sfiras HaOmer from Sunday, right? And if you start Mimachras HaShabbos, the first day of the Sfiras HaOmer is Sunday, so then Shavuos itself, you know, 7 weeks later, is going to come out on a Sunday. And the Baisusim had a whole pshat as to why Shavuos always comes out on a Sunday. They said Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people, he wanted to give them a long weekend. Right, so they should have, you know, Shabbos off, and they should have Sunday off also. Right, back, you know, they didn't live in America, right? You know, now we have every Sunday off, you know. But you know, he wanted to give the Jewish people a long weekend. So the Nosin Alager writes that the Targum Onkelos specifically introduces Torah Sheba'al Peh on a pasuk that was a point of contention between us and the Tztukim or the Baisusim. That's why, let's say, for instance, with Sfiras HaOmer, he introduces that translation of Mimachras HaShabbos as the day following Yom Tov. However, there are other places where the Tztukim and the Baisusim accepted elements of the Torah Sheba'al Peh, or at least they didn't make a big deal about their argument on these translations of the Torah Sheba'al Peh. So where it wasn't a point of contention, says the Nosin Alager, the Targum Onkelos left the pasuk translated, you know, in accordance with the pshat, the simple translation, without introducing the Torah Sheba'al Peh. So says the Nosin Alager, is the basis for why some psukim are translated in accordance with Torah Sheba'al Peh, and some psukim are translated not in accordance with Torah Sheba'al Peh. They just reflect the simple pshat in the pasuk. The problem with such a theory is there's absolutely no way to prove or disprove it. In other words, we don't know. We don't have an exhaustive list of all the times that the Tztukim and the Baisusim argued, and all the times that the Tztukim and Baisusim agreed with our interpretation of the Psukim. So absent that list, you know, it's a theory that really doesn't have any way of proving or disproving. In other words, you know, we'd say you can't apply the scientific method to such a theory, right? In other words, any time you'll see that he'll translate the Pasuk in accordance with the pshat, as opposed to the Torah Sheba'al Peh, so your answer for that is always going to be, well, I guess the Tztukim and the Baisusim agreed with our interpretation, with our understanding on that pasuk, and therefore it wasn't necessary to translate it in accordance with Torah Sheba'al Peh. So, you know, once you can say that, you know, it solves all the problems, because there's no way to test, you know, the strength of the theory.
But sometimes we follow it. Don't use the Torah Sheba'al Peh to help us. It's a simple possible. We don't have to go any further to look into it. So you could see, so that you probably agree with them at certain points. You know, they agree with us, I guess you say.
Right, right.
These are obvious.
So let's maybe give some examples, because again, right now we're talking more theoretically. Let's see a couple of examples in Mishpatim. Mishpatim is one of the ultimate places in Chumash where Torah Shebiksav and Torah Sheba'al Peh have to work together, because, you know, there's so much halacha in Parshas Mishpatim, and, you know, so much of how we understand the halacha is based on Torah Sheba'al Peh as opposed to Torah Shebiksav. So let's take a couple of examples, and then, you know, we'll get a clearer idea of what we're discussing over here, right? So the very beginning of Parshas Mishpatim talks about the halacha of an Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave. So the Jewish slave is supposed to work for 6 years, then he goes free, but he has an option of extending his servitude at the end of 6 years, and they make him a deal that, you know, with a little piercing, you know, he can stick around for a longer period of time. Vigisho Adonav el Elohim. So they go together to the Dayonim, to the Bezdin. Vigisho Aladelis Ol HaMezuzah. They take the slave and they bring him to the door. Virotza Adonav es Osno Bamarseya. His ear is pierced with a hammer, with a piercing instrument. Okay, so he becomes what in halacha we refer to as an Eved Mirza. He's a slave whose ear has been pierced. Va'avodo le'olam. And the slave, instead of going out after 6 years, remains a slave le'olam. Le'olam means forever, right? Simple pshat in the pasuk is that he's a slave for the rest of his life. That's not how the Torah Sheba'al Peh understands le'olam. Rashi writes, va'avodo le'olam ad ha'yovel. Right? In other words, the yovel, the jubilee year, frees this slave. The yovel might be a year later. It might be coming up very, very soon. Le'olam doesn't mean forever. Le'olam means until the yovel. And Rashi, again, quotes from the Gemara, O eino ela le'olam kimashmo, maybe le'olam means forever. I mean, that's what it literally means, forever. No. Talmud lomar ve'isho mishpachto toshuvu, magid shechamishim shana kuyim olam. Right? You know, 50 years is called forever. 50 years is called forever in this context. Indeed, if you take a look in the Targum Yonason ben Uziel, so the Yonason ben Uziel writes, v'yehele eved polach, that this slave should be a slave, ad yovela, until the yovel. Right? So the Targum Yonason ben Uziel inserts the Torah Sheba'al Peh's understanding. This, by the way, there's a universal understanding of the Torah Sheba'al Peh. It's not like, you know, there's some who say like this, there's some who say like that. No, in other words, everybody, the Gemara, you know, all of Chazal understand that La'olam over here means until the Yovel. That's the way Rashi writes, that's the way the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel writes. Fine, in other words, the Yonasan ben Uziel avoids the what we might misinterpret, that La'olam means forever as opposed to until the Yovel. But we take a look in the Targum Unculus. So he writes, V'yehele eved palach, he should be a servant, a slave, le'olam, forever. Now again, is it terrible that he translated it forever? Well, I mean, that is the literal translation of the Pasuk. I mean, all he did was just translate the Pasuk literally into Aramaic. I mean, you know, you can't really have a complaint, you know, that he translated the Pasuk literally. But the literal translation of the Pasuk is misleading from a Torah Sheba'al Peh perspective. It gives the impression that he's going to be the slave forever and ever. So why did he see fit to translate Mimachras HaShabbos non-literally in accordance with the Torah Sheba'al Peh, and here he translated it literally, you know, le'olam, forever? So the Nesina Lagir would say, well, I guess the Tztukim don't argue on the meaning of le'olam. They as well interpret that le'olam means until the Yovel year. Okay, I mean, if you tell me that's the case, I guess, but you know, I don't think we have any independent record of the Tztukim having an opinion about what Le'olam means.
Tztukim followed basically the scriptures, and they would say, it's not forever, because Le'olam is chaser, it's what chaser vav, so it doesn't mean forever.
You're saying that Tztukim also had drushes? I don't know. Could be. I don't know.
Whatever the word appeared to them, they would take it literally.
It's possible, but I don't know. You know, it's possible. To take another example, a very, very famous example, towards the beginning of the parasha, Parah Chof Aleph, Pasuk Chof Gimel, right? Two people are fighting, and Rachmana Litzlan, they kill someone in the process. Fim Oson Yihyeh, right? If there should be an oson, oson in modern day Hebrew means an accident, but we've seen this in Unkelus before, and this is clearly the understanding on a Torah Sheba'al Peh level. V'moso yehei, if somebody dies in the process of this fight, two people are exchanging blows, and they kill somebody in the process, lo aleinu. V'nosato nefesh tachas nefesh, Right? So a soul should be exchanged for a soul. In other words, for the person who murdered, the person who killed, should be put to death. Okay, so far that is the halacha. And then we continue with a very famous pasuk. Ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, which, again, is not talking about killing somebody. That's talking about the halachas of chavala, of chovel b'chaveiro, of causing injury to one's fellow. And the Torah famously says, ayin tachas ayin, an eye for an eye. In other words, if Reuven blinds Shimon, the simple pshat in the pasuk is that the Bezdin should blind Reuven. In other words, you knocked out his eye, so they should knock out your eye. You knocked out his tooth, they should knock out your tooth. Right? So, of course, we know that that is not the case, according to the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos says that although there are certain elements of Torah Shebaal Peh which are debated between the Chachamim, right? In other words, as we know, you open up any page of Gemara, there are debates about how to interpret certain things in Torah Shebaal Peh, but there's certain things that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and they're off limits. You can't debate them. You know, one of those things is the idea of ayin tachas ayin. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was taught at Har Sinai that ayin tachas ayin is an expression. It doesn't mean that you literally take out the other guy's eye. It means that you pay money instead, you know, to make up in some way for the fact that the other guy's eye was taken out. And that's what ayin tachas ayin means. Okay. So the pasuk does not, the Targum Unculus over here does not say pay money instead of the guy's eye. It says eina chalof eina, literally an eye instead of an eye, a literal translation. In contrast, the Yonasan ben Uziel over here writes demei eina chulof eina, demei shina chulof shina, the value, the monetary value of an eye instead of an eye, the monetary value of a tooth instead of a tooth, right? So the truth is, you see from the Yonasan ben Uziel, all the Targum Unculus had to do, well, it wouldn't have been very complicated. All he had to do would be to just add the word demei, the monetary value of, into the pasuk. Demei eino, chalaf eino, demei shino, chalaf shino. And he would have been able to introduce, with the addition of one word, the Torah Shebaal Peh, into the understanding of the pasuk. It's striking that he doesn't do that. It's striking that he leaves the pasuk as is. Now, again, no one's suggesting that Targum Unculus was arguing that he should literally take the guy's eye out. That's off the table, right? In other words, that's agreed upon. That was, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was told at Har Sinai that you give money instead of taking the guy's eye out. Nobody's disputing that point. The question is, why does he choose to translate it literally, as opposed to introducing the Torah Shebaal Peh, which could have been done very easily? So again, you go back to the Maritz Chayis and the Nesina Lager, right? The Maritz Chayis would say that, you know, the question of how you punish someone who wounds someone else is not up to the average Jew. It's up to Dayanim. And we hope that the Dayanim know that ayin tachas ayin means money and not literally taking the guy's eye out. Okay, you know, so that works in this context. And the Nesina Lager would say that the Tztukim as well agree that you're supposed to give money instead of paying, you know, knocking the guy's eye out. They agree with the Torah Shebaal Peh over here. So therefore, it wasn't necessary to deviate from the simple pshat in the pasuk, and that's why the Targum Unculus left it as is. Again, do I know what the Tztukim actually held? I don't know. You know, we don't have really a lot of material from the Tztukim to know what the Tztukim held in terms of understanding this pasuk. So, you know, yeah, the theory of the Nesina Lager is fine. It's just that there's no way to either prove it or disprove it, you know, lacking any external evidence to really address it. So, you know, it's still a bit of an open question, but we should just be cognizant of the phenomena. There are times where the Targum Unculus introduces the Torah Shebaal Peh, and the times where the Targum Unculus leaves the pasuk as is. And, you know, you have to try to figure out what the rule of thumb is, not so pashut, you know, in terms of when he does and when he doesn't.
Yes, yeah. I'm sorry. Excuse me. It seemed to me that was, sorry, this question, it just aroused my mind, it came up. This would seem to be the kind of times when they, like, took out an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, et cetera, right. You know, these things. And I also see down the road in someone say for Balmikor where they said there was someone outside the camp who's gathering wood on Shabbat day, on the day of Shabbat itself, that particular day, dark time, whatever it was. And they, Oshanaro, they didn't know what to do. God sure didn't know what to do. So apparently, Peter seemed was determined what to do, was to stone him to death. They hadn't just appointed any, any apparent incentive way of thinking. It just was, you know, the thinking of the eventuality was he would be stoned to death.
Right.
So I'm not linking this to this. I'm just saying this is just the forefront
of my mind. Right. No, so you have. There are certainly the capital punishment. You know, there are death penalties that exist in the Torah, 100%. Yeah.
There are certain things that are shvei kishrimin that maybe Targum Onkelos they could have even burnt it if they in the time, you know, the Christians and the Muslims, they took literally the courts took out an eye for an eye. But in the time of Targum Onkelos, okay, so mimachris v'shabbos, Shabbos shabbos. But something like this, that's a stage, the farish, ayin tachasayin, if you would have said, ayin, which was the real shot, the real, that his whole, he was faced with perhaps some opposition, not necessarily, remember, this is all coming, it wasn't necessarily him who wrote this, it was Misina, because Targum Onkelos is Misina. So there's an historical element there that if certain ones he would have said that are the state beferish ayin takasayin, he would have said momom betakasayin. Then when someone sees the original Hebrew, they could have taken his books and it could have gotten destroyed because of the surrounding elements at that time. That's all. So certain ones, you have to see how many of them like that that are so much that you think he would tell the right shot. That you would say, or Kesav Amakam Ayin, you think it would be, but it was so obvious to the Hamonam or even the non-Jews, whatever it is, that his books would be, that's trash! Can't even translate properly, an eye for an eye. So certain things he had to go and do it the exact translation, not put in.
It's interesting, but I mean, there are a number of times where he doesn't translate literally.
You have to see if that's something that it could knock out his whole thing.
So I wanted to focus just before we break today. There are, as we know, examples of the Targum Onkelos where he does bring in the Torah Shebaal Peh. Even as we're quoting examples in Mishpatim where he doesn't bring it in, at the same time there are examples where he does bring it in. And again, it leaves an open question. I don't know if there's such. I'm not trying to propose an answer to the question. Again, you know, two of the great Achronim proposed answers, and you know, there's what to talk about with both of the answers. So, in Perichof Aleph Pasuk Yutes, so it describes again Chovel b'Chaveiro, somebody who injures his friend. Rak Shivto Yitein, v'Rapo Yirape. Right, the assailant should pay the one whom he injured his sheves, meaning. He should pay him for what he missed out in going to work. You know, you injured the guy couldn't go to work for 2 weeks, so you should pay him, you know, what he lost, the wages that he lost over that period of time. The Targum Onkelos writes, butlone yitain, he should give him the amount of money that represents the batala, the fact that he was, rendered incapable of going to work for that period of time. V'rapo yirape. Now, literally, rapo yirape means, and he should heal him. Which might lead you to the following conclusion. You know, I go and I punch somebody, I knock the guy out. Okay, I'm not recommending you should try this at home. Knock the guy out. Oh, Well, you know, I took biology in ninth grade. It looks like he's bleeding a little bit. I once took a first aid course. You know, so the rapo, you know, I should heal him. Okay, so I take out my first aid kit, start, you know, doing what I can do, and, you know, since my first aid knowledge is not exactly first rate, you know, so the guy's not doing so well. The poshup shot, the simple shot, the virapo yirapo, I should heal him, however it is. The Targum Onkelos writes, v'agar asyo yishalem. He should pay the doctor. Right? In other words, bring in a professional. Don't try to do this yourself. You know, kids, don't try this at home. Right? You know, bring in a professional. Pay the money to have the professional come in and heal the person. The Gemara Bava Kamma actually discusses, let's say, you know, the assailant knocks out this guy, and, you know, the assailant goes over to the guy who's been injured and says, you know, I took a first aid course, or even more than that. I'm actually a doctor. I can help you out. You know, meimis umechaya, right? In other words, I can knock you out. I can help you. You know, it's a two-for-one deal. You know, I can knock you out, and then I can help you afterwards, right? So the victim has the right to say, I don't want you, even if you're a skilled doctor, I don't want you healing me. I don't really trust you after you beat me up. You know, you're not the guy. You just I'll give you the address of my doctor. Just, you know, send the check in the mail. That's all I really. You can sell it if you want, you know, but I'm not really interested in you helping me out directly. So that idea from the Gemara actually is implicit in the Targum Onkelos, right? Virapo Yerapi does not translate as he will heal him, but he introduces the idea of paying for his healing. Va'agar asyo yishalim. He should pay the money that represents his healing. Rashi calls attention to this. Rashi says, Virapo yirape kitargumo. Yishalim schar horofe. Right? In other words, what's Rashi doing over there? Why is Rashi calling attention to the Targum Onkelos? Because the Targum Onkelos is introducing a chiddush, a novel idea from the Gemara. Rapo yirape doesn't mean let the guy heal him himself. It means let him pay for the treatments that the guy, you know, he can insist on the treatments being paid for, not that the assailant himself, even if he's capable of doing so, can help him out. So there you have an example of the Taurus Shebaal Peh, a Gemara, being introduced by the Targum Onkelos. So again, it just raises the question once again, which we're not going to answer, why sometimes yes, and why sometimes no. Okay, Rabbi Chananel ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, L'Zachos, Yisrael, L'Fikach,